Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our text for this Reformation Sunday, it's taken from the book of Romans, the third chapter. We will read verses 19 through 28 in that chapter. It's Romans 3, 19 through 28, where we read in the name of our Lord, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, and so it is, freely given, freely received, and so we receive. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. This, of course, is a day that we usually associate with Martin Luther, and we go through all those things of nailing the 95 theses on the church door at Wittenberg, and we celebrate this thing, but this is a day for everybody. You know, I remember one of my best friends in high school. His uncle was a good Jesuit priest, and he taught at Canisius College. And when I first met him, he asked me what church I belonged to, and I told him I was a Lutheran. And he said, "Well, you know, if Luther would have come today, we'd all gone with him." You see, we need to understand the universality of God's grace. It's for all people. You know, we got a pile of Methodists that are in here too, you know. And it's like, that's just great. You know, we got banners from the old Mohawk church up there now, you know, and stuff like that. You understand that we're all united in one person, in the person of Jesus Christ. And the calling of the Reformation is not just even for Protestants, whatever they are. I mean, that's an invented term, too. That's like Lutheran. You know, Lutheran doesn't mean anything. Lutheran is what the Roman Catholics decided to call us because they didn't like that we could still be part of the church at the time that Luther split away. So they called us Lutherans. Lutherans do not call themselves Lutherans. If you're a Lutheran, you're an evangelical, I hate to tell you. The word in German is evangelisch. And we actually understand ourselves to be evangelical Catholic because we come out of the universal church. You see, the point of grace is to understand that it's universal. It's given to all people. It's given to everyone. And whoever comes, it doesn't matter what name is stuck onto them. That doesn't matter. What matters is that they come. They come for this grace. They come to receive this grace. They come to receive this Savior who loves them so greatly that he was willing to shed his blood in order to save them. Today, and the greatest honor that I love, if when I talk about retirement, I want to retire, but the one thing I want to do is baptisms. I still want to do those. You know, you bring me a baby to be baptized, that's done deal. You know, I just love that. Today, little Bryson, he just made it so easy. You know, Bryson, he's just like a little adorable angel, but he's greater than that because he's a child of God. He's a child of God. And within the church, what happens is we just receive him. You know, we come in, we don't ask for any pedigree, we don't do anything, you know. We just receive them because we know that our God receives them. God just freely receives them. But you understand, it's no different from any of the rest of us. God just freely receives us. He just freely receives us. Each and every one of us, he receives like that little baby. He receives us in precisely the same way. He knows. He knows who we are. He knows. And he loves us so desperately. He loves us so greatly that he gave us this abundant grace. And that's what Paul was really talking about, that we would understand, that we would know this grace. And in this grace, that's really how we would deal with each other, that we would always deal with each other on the basis of this grace. Because we know, even as this says, that we all have our difficulties, we all have our failures, we all have our points of things where we have not lived up to expectation. But we recognize right away, as he says here, this is done, he says, to understand that sin stops our mouth. It has to stop our mouth. And that's one of the greatest things, you know, and people would like to say to preachers, I wish I could stop yours sometimes, especially when it gets to go on too long. But this is where you come to the point of understanding that this is what stops our mouth. It stops our mouth. It makes us stop talking about our situation. Because our situation is all the same. Before God, we're just simply in need of grace. That's all. It stops our mouths. And it gets us to understand there's nothing that we can say. What am I supposed to say? I'm guilty. I'm just guilty. And that's why he says this. He says, but the acknowledgement of guilt is not enough to save us. It can't save us. He says, there's no deed that we can do that will ever save us. Nothing that we can do. He says, all the law does is tell us you're guilty. You know, you got caught. You know, your hand's in the cookie jar and you got caught. He says, but now there's a righteousness of God that's manifested without that, outside of that law. There's a righteousness of God. There's a justice of God, literally, is what this term is. He says, there's a justice of God. God's justice is manifested. He says, but it was seen all the way back in the law and the prophets. He says, all the way back in the Old Testament. He says, this was spoken of so that you would have this understanding. That now, your justification, your being declared just, would be by faith. She would simply come to him. He would receive you. He would receive you. You see, that's really all there is to it. That's all there is to it. I can give you 40-some years of theological experience of going through all sorts of different texts and reading all sorts of things and all of this understanding of that, but in reality, that's all this boils down to is one simple thing. God loves you so greatly that he gave his only begotten son to save you. And it wasn't too great a price to pay. He didn't count it too great a price to pay. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all of your iniquity. The blood of Jesus Christ makes you pure and holy in God's sight. The blood of Jesus Christ marks you out as his own. The blood of Jesus Christ declares you righteous, sinner though you be. The blood of Jesus Christ gives you eternity. The blood of Jesus Christ guarantees you eternal life. The blood of Jesus Christ speaks greater things than the blood of righteous Abel. For the blood of righteous Abel cries for vengeance. The blood of Jesus Christ screams forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. What a delicious word. It even tastes good when it comes out of your mouth. Forgiveness, forgiveness. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. Your sins and your iniquities, as we read in Jeremiah, are remembered no more. They're not remembered anymore. And he says this very clearly, for all have sinned, all have sinned. And they've all wound up short. He says they've all come up short. He says none of us can earn that goodness of God. And people will quote this all the time, and it kind of kills me because I'm like waiting for the other part, you know. Don't be stopping there. You know, don't be stopping there. Quote the other part. You know, make sure you say the other part. Because it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Yeah! Hallelujah! And I'm done. That's it. I'm done. I got nothing better than that to tell you. I will never have anything better than that to tell you. I will never have a greater thing to ever tell you for the rest of my life than that. That you would understand that you are justified freely by his grace. Justified freely by his grace. Yes! Freely! By his grace. And I'm serious. That's it. That's what this is all about. We understand this one thing. We're all justified freely by his grace. Paul says very clearly there's no distinction any longer. He says, there's nothing, 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 no other thing that can keep us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. We're justified freely by his grace. When we look out in the world, that's what we need to see and need to understand. When we look on the world, we need to look at it the way our Jesus looks at the world. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. This is the thing that we need in this world. See, what's going on in this world is not the way of God. God doesn't kill people. God doesn't do violence to people. God doesn't seek their ill. God seeks their redemption. God seeks their salvation. God wants them to know you're saved. Jesus died for you. And the only way that can really be communicated is by this tremendous act of love. It's this tremendous act of love that while we were yet sinners, which it will say later in this book, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And we would understand that, yes, this is what this is. This is what this is all about. That's why the Reformation isn't just for a group of people called Protestants or Lutherans or any other sort of thing like that. The Reformation is to understand this is really the nature of God. God got buried with all of this nonsense that we pile up all the time instead of understanding very clearly, well, no, this is just all there is to it. It's all there is to it. You're justified freely by his grace. You are forgiven. And people say, well, I haven't even got around to completing all my sins yet. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. What do you think the one thing that helps us to ever combat sin is? Is the fact that we're forgiven. That we're forgiven. And we cultivate this relation with our God because our God so loved us that he forgave. And so we love him. We love our God. We love our God. And we live in the light of that love. And so therefore, we love our neighbor. We love one another. Because God so loved us. You see, this isn't hard. There's nothing hard about this at all. It's about the easiest thing that's ever been done. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I'm a little too old for that, but I remember when my son was growing up and Mr. Rogers was on TV. And Mr. Rogers was a very good Methodist. You know, and Mr. Rogers would come out and he had Jesus Christ all over him. He didn't have to say a word like that. Every kid on the planet knew that Mr. Rogers was his neighbor. And he was a good neighbor. And every kid knew that Mr. Rogers wanted you to be in his neighborhood. Won't you be my neighbor? Sometimes you just need a little bit more of Fred Rogers. We need to understand the kindness of God. And we need to speak of that kindness. And we need to relieve each other of the burden of trying to be perfect. Because we're never going to meet that expectation. We need to give each other the grace to be imperfect. And to recognize that we're forgiven. Because the blood of Jesus Christ shouts forgiveness. Forgiveness. Paul says, so how could we ever brag? Says, what do we have to brag about then? Says, in ourselves, nothing. Says, we don't have anything to brag about. He says, what do we brag about? Jesus. Says, we brag about Jesus. He says, and we come to this conclusion. A human being is justified by faith, apart from the deeds of the law. And I told you, I'm done. That's it. You're justified freely by his grace, apart from the deeds of the law, because your God loves you that much. And you are a forever person. You're going to live forever. And the glory of God will shine out from you all the days of your life until the day comes when that's all that's left. Fullness of your image is revealed. You will find yourself in the fullness of him who gave himself for you. And you will awaken on a glorious day in which you will see him face to face. And then you will know, even as you are known, his purity and his life will be yours forever and ever. And seriously, I'm done. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, no one can add to so great a gift. We pray, Father, that you would relieve us of that hideous burden of trying to think in some way, shape, or form that we must fulfill your law. Rather, Father, that we would simply receive it as fulfilled for us through the finished work of your Son. Father, that we would relieve each other of that burden of perfection and recognize that that perfection is found in the Jesus who indwells us and by your Holy Spirit, Father, alone. That, Father, we would grant to one another to have grace. That we would allow one another to live in freedom, knowing full well, Father, that each of us in grace is bound to you wholly. And Father, that we might indeed realize that you have placed us on the path of righteousness that leads to eternity. And in all things, Father, in all that we say and do, your name would be hallowed and glorified for Jesus' name's sake. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of this Holy Spirit be with us all now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We will close our service.